Hi everyone, welcome to Baby Steps Nutrition, a podcast that focuses on nutrition, health, and wellness for families of children of all ages and stages. I'm your host, Argavon Neal-Forouche, a pediatric dietitian and mom of two young children. My goal is to bring you impactful information that you can apply every day in a simplified, practical form to make life easier. Now let's get into today's conversation. Nutrition is particularly important for athletes due to the stress and high energy demands they put on their bodies. With nutritional deficiencies and other underlying health conditions, athletes are at risk of injury, poor recovery from injury and/or surgery, and decreased overall performance. Food is not only medicine, food is the essential fuel to perform at the highest and most efficient athletic ability. Kyleen Bogdan is a board-certified sports dietitian who is highly trained in functional nutrition. She holds a bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics, a master's degree in exercise physiology, and she completed her accredited dietetic internship at Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in New Orleans, Louisiana. As a former college athlete and certified LEAP therapist, Kyleen specializes in nutrition for performance while taking into account food sensitivities, gut health, and nutrient deficiencies. Kyleen is currently the performance dietitian for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hi, Kyleen. I know the energy and excitement will be high today. A warm welcome to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'd love to hear your story. So as a pediatric dietitian, I know there are some dietitians in sports nutrition, but you work at the professional sports level. And how did you get there and why did you choose functional medicine in particular?
Yes. So it was definitely a long, hard road to get here. A fun road, but a long, hard road. But I guess to make a long story short, I've always been interested in food, in cooking. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up. They're from San Marino, Italy. I mean, straight off the boat, authentic cooking from scratch every minute of the day. It's just how they live their life. And they lived a great life, a long life. And I believe a lot of that had to do with the fact that they made food from scratch day in and day out, just about every day of their lives. And I thought, this is interesting. I like this. Not only does this food taste great, but I feel better when I eat real food, especially as an athlete. Like, I compete better, I recover better. Maybe I can make a career out of this, which sounds so funny now, but many years ago, sports nutrition wasn't really a thing. It was fairly new when I was in college, and I thought, you know, I wonder if I could dive deeper into this and not only help myself as an athlete, but other athletes around the country. And then fast forward a bit, and I started off in the clinical setting. You know, I think that's where most dietitians start off. I felt that even though the clinical setting wasn't necessarily my dream, I felt that I needed that foundation. And lo and behold, fast forward, it did end up serving me well, as I have many athletes with gut issues and blood sugar issues and everything in between. But at one point in my career, I was working clinical outpatient at Cleveland Clinic. And the first Cleveland Clinic Center, or the first Center for Functional Medicine in the world, came to Cleveland Clinic. Dr. Mark Hyman came, and I was in general outpatient at that time. But I felt that I needed an edge. I felt that if I wanted to work in pro sports, I had to set myself apart. In that area of medicine and nutrition, it just made sense. You know, food is medicine. Let's get to the root of someone's problems instead of putting a Band-Aid over it. And I thought, you know, why don't I just interview for this job for fun? It'll probably just be practice, but why not? What do I have to lose? And I ended up getting the job. And it was a whirlwind because the information was so drastically different than what I had learned in school, but I felt that it just made sense and I've never turned back.
I love that. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about the functional medicine part. So you are now working with, you know, big time athletes. How have you seen the connection between nutrition and performance? How does nutrition impact performance?
Honestly, you're going to think, oh, you're a dietitian. Of course you're going to say this. You're biased, but really, truly, nutrition impacts every area of performance, everything from energy to sleep quality to the way they digest their food to, I mean, everything, recovery, their ability to change body composition, their stool. Because the vast majority of the immune system lives in the gut, and because the gut and the brain connect, it only makes sense that eating well is at the epicenter of everything when it comes to athletic performance. I firmly believe that you cannot reach your fullest potential if you are not eating well. Like, yes, there are plenty of pro athletes across the world even who eat junk and still excel in their sport, but a lot of times there's untapped potential when they are still eating, you know, fried chicken on the day of a track meet or a basketball game.
Yes. And so what about functional nutrition? So, you know, to some people, that's a newer concept. And I'm sure that's one of the things that set you apart from maybe some of the other dietitians who didn't have that background or training. Are you seeing that a lot of these athletes are open to functional nutrition principles? What has been your experience there?
Sure. And you know, it really depends on the personality in the sport. But for the most part, yes, once they understand, oh, okay, you're getting to know me and my unique biology. Like, oh, you're not going to make me eat piles of green vegetables all day long necessarily, but more of eating in a way that, you know, works with my body and my immune system. And oh, okay, so you're not going to oversupplement me, but, you know, maybe you'll give me good quality professional grade supplements based on my test results. That makes sense to me. Great, let's do it. Once it's fully explained, it's usually not a problem, especially if that athlete wants to advance in their career and they want that 1% edge. They'll say, yeah, of course, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are not too many of you doing something similar. Am I right?
Not to my knowledge. I really don't know of many, at least in the United States, that are highly trained in functional nutrition as well as board certified in sports nutrition.
Yeah, super cool. I mean, when I even learned about you through a webinar, I thought, well, that's, I got to have her on the show. This is, I need to learn more, even though I'm in the same industry, but yeah. For me, it's an area that I know very little about, the professional sports. So I'm excited to have you here. Speaking of professional sports, you know, when I were telling people that you were going to be on the show, and of course, one of the questions I get are, well, professional athletes, aren't they super healthy? They're at their best health. What does a dietitian do with them anyway? So I'm curious, what are some of the top health challenges that you've encountered with athletes that you've worked with?
Sure. And again, it does kind of depend on the personality in the sport. But, you know, let's just say basketball, for example, there's a lot of God-given talent. And many of these guys can perform at a high level while eating, you know, subpar food. It's just kind of the nature of the sport, nature of the business. And while not ideal, it is kind of what it is. And there's always the thought of, well, you know, I got this far eating, you know, this, this, and this. Why are you trying to change my ways now? And it's really helping them make that connection to try to get over that hump. And a lot of them are very, very young. I always say to people, think about what you ate when you were 19, 20, 21, 22. I know myself personally, it wasn't so good. It was a lot of chicken tenders and fruit snacks and frozen yogurt and a lot of craziness. I don't blame these guys. I get it. But it's hard because hindsight is 20/20. And even as a college athlete for a little stint there, I did not eat well. And I regret it often. I just didn't understand. I thought, well, you know, I'm an athlete at a higher level. I can eat whatever I want. I'll just burn it off. And it just doesn't work that way. Human biology is so much more complex. So it's actually a major challenge because a lot of these guys are so young. And so, and also kind of to piggyback and answer your question, it is very much a full-time job. I'm working with our chef at the facility, working at chefs at the arena. I'm helping pair individual chefs with our players or my private practice clients at home. And then you're constantly checking in with them. On top of that, you're ordering advanced testing, whether it's micronutrient deficiencies, gut testing, food sensitivities, you know, whatever the issue is, you're looking at that and you're tweaking that and constantly communicating about that, you know, making sure that supplements these guys bring in are regulated, they're safe, they're actually doing their job, helping them overcome their own challenges. Like, hey, I know I need to eat this, but it makes me gag. How do I disguise this or how do I cook it or whatever, you know, meal plans to help, you know, gain lean mass, alleviate gas, get rid of headaches, have deeper sleep, whatever you name it. I mean, that's really what I'm doing all day long. I'm actually blending the smoothies myself. So it's a full-time job.
I bet. And so as dietitians, we know that tolerance can sometimes decrease as you get older. And as you mentioned, a lot of these athletes are super young. So maybe like they've gone through their teenage years, maybe early 20s, but we know as you get into like your late 20s, 30s, and some of them are still younger, but you just don't, you know, it might be a digestibility issue. It might be a food intolerance that suddenly becomes a bigger deal as you get older. So are you seeing like gut health issues, autoimmune disorders? How has it been impacting like their recovery from surgery or injury?
Sure. So on the whole, I'm just kind of clumping this because I see just about every sport under the sun, you know, by the time the day is over. So a lot of times my very intense, longer endurance athletes, you know, my marathoners, 50 miler, 100 milers, you're seeing a lot more gut issues, right? It makes sense. There's a lot of jarring of the gut. And a lot of times what's advertised towards this market is, you know, very polluted snacks, fruit chews, drinks, bars. And I'm not saying every athlete that's endurance falls under this category, but it's more common. So you'll see more gut issues and more autoimmunity there, more than any other sport. But it's hard because it just depends on the athlete's life. Did they go through a lot of stress? Was there trauma growing up? What is their diet like now? Did they go through rounds of antibiotics for, I don't know, an infection or even acne, or maybe, my gosh, they had a tick bite in seventh grade and, you know, there was a fear of Lyme. And I mean, there are just so many situations that an athlete could have gone through. What was their dorm like in college? Was it old? Was it moldy? Were they exposed to a water damaged building? I mean, you're looking at that, and then you're putting together their goals, their symptoms, you know, what today looks like. And when you connect those dots, that's kind of how you figure out where you need to go. So I guess the answer is that is what dictates the gut issues, the fatigue, the autoimmunity is the athlete's life and what the hoops they've been through.
Yeah. And I bet sometimes they don't realize all of the things that came prior to that day. It mattered. Like you said, connecting the dots, but it's going back all the way to, like you said, childhood and the home that you were exposed to and the foods that you grew up to. Yes. No, all of those things.
Well, and even worse, because they're athletes, because they are generally, you know, pretty tough cookies, they think many times it's normal to feel like junk. It's normal to constantly have joint pain or gas or fatigue, headaches, whatever, eczema, acne, psoriasis, all of that when it's chronic. We of course, as practitioners, know it's a problem, but they don't. They just think, well, you know, I travel a lot for my sport and I train a lot and, you know, it's just part of the territory of being an athlete. And it's not true. You should not feel like that, even at the highest level.
Right. And I think more than the average person, they're probably just powering through, right? It's that mindset of just, you know, just maneuver over it, power through it, you'll get over it. And so I'm sure those are some of the other things that maybe they didn't address or acknowledge because of that mindset.
You're absolutely right. Kylie, you're right. Absolutely.
In addition to your, I mean, you wear many hats, of course, and we talked about working for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but you also have a blog called Forward Fuel. Can you tell us what that is and what inspired you to create it?
Yes. So it is a functional sports nutrition blog and really one of the most authentic of its kind, official of its kind. And I say that because we have two board-certified dietitians behind the blog running and also a doctorate in physical therapy who's manually trained and board-certified in sports. So because it was created when we looked around and saw there was nothing truly in-depth, evidence-based on functional sports nutrition. It's not to say that there aren't great websites out there, but nothing really created by credentialed practitioners. I think that's so important when you want to bring validity to this field. And we just come from a very unique background in the sense that we've all seen clients and patients. We've lived this life ourselves. We've gone through a lot of the testing and the supplements. We're all three have been athletes. And I think we can view things from a different lens because we've gone through this personally and professionally. And that's why we created Forward Fuel.
I love that. And how are the personalities alike or different?
On our team, are you referring to?
Yes.
Oh, yes. It's funny. I am very much kind of the animated, cartwheeling on the ceiling, over the top. My husband actually is the physical therapist who runs the business. Very, very serious, very stern, very calculated, very, you know, a little more structured than I am. And, you know, Abby's a wonderful mix of the two. She's our second dietitian. She's incredibly talented. She specializes in women's health and hormones. And I've never met anyone as brilliant and as young as that human being. So together we kind of give you this mismatch of, I don't know, personality, knowledge, and analytics.
I love that. And I love that you're covering women's health because we're learning more and more about, you know, young adolescent girls, especially ones that get into sports and what's normal, what's not normal, right? We've heard things over the generations, but we're learning now like PCOS and period health and menstruation. There are so many things that need to be looked at. So another super cool topic, but I'm glad you're bringing that into working with the female athletes.
Yes, very necessary.
Yes. And Kylie, for teen and young adult athletes that are listening or caregivers of teen and young adult athletes, what is your advice for maximizing their nutrition status if they're looking to improve their performance?
That's an excellent question. And take it from me, someone who did not do this, try your very best to eat real food. And that sounds so silly. I realize that, but it will make all the difference in the entire world if you are consistent. This does not mean, all right, you know, a salad every night, or, oh, I ate really great quality food, you know, today. And then the next day is fast food. You have to stay consistent. But not only should the food on your plate be real, but your energy products, your bars, your shakes, because I get it. You know, do we want to live off of processed foods? No, but it's 2022. It's a busy world. And especially if you're active, you have to find a way around a lot of this stuff and choose companies that do not have chemicals and artificial sweeteners and food dyes in those snacks, the, you know, the bars, the shakes, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, you will see a difference probably within 10 days.
And what do you say to people that say a calorie is a calorie? Because I hear that, as you, I'm sure you do, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to teach that. I didn't know. I mean, it's what I was taught in school. I said to all my patients for the first, I don't know, 3-5 years of my career, well, a calorie is a calorie, right? It kind of makes sense. But my gosh, it couldn't be further from the truth. It's just, and the calories in, calories out, it just doesn't work that way. There are so many other factors: your environment, your genetics, your gut health, the type of quality of food you're choosing, how active you are, and just even at a very basic level, protein, carbon, fat, they digest very differently. They burn differently in the body, so to speak. And when you compile all that information, and understanding too that food also codes our DNA, when you put all that together, like you can't possibly say a calorie is a calorie. It just doesn't work that way, which is why you'll see people overly restrict. And, you know, they may lose a little bit of weight at first, but eventually it will not take them very far. It'll come to a halt. They'll have struggle, they'll struggle to maintain the progress. And a lot of that is because that food is so complex and the human body is so much more complex than a calorie is a calorie.
Yeah. And I think one of the most valuable skills is teaching kids to cook. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated, but I feel like, especially this generation, just basic cooking skills, right? And getting creative in the kitchen. And I'm wondering how many young athletes you work with that either have or don't have those basic cooking skills.
I think most of the adult athletes I work with a lot of times don't have the skills. It's just, you know, a lot of us grew up in that generation where it was the convenience food was new and it was exciting and it was beautiful and there was all these colorful packages. And then the companies would slap on whole grain or, you know, this and that 100% fruit juice or whatever all over it. And it sounds good, looks good. And many of us were raised on frozen dinners and packaged snacks and 100 calorie packs. And some of us have lived through the snack wells era where, you know, low fat, no fat and Olean. And it's just, it's crazy. But I'm 100% agreeing with you. I have a daughter who's 3 years old and there is no option. She is in the kitchen with me most nights. I have her put the seasoning in. I have her stir things, probably dangerous, but you know what? It's what we do. And she's starting to understand like how to make her own food.
I love that at 3 years old. That would be a fun video to see as well.
Yeah. Tune in. It's coming later.
Yes, totally. It's the real behind the scenes, right?
Yes. Yes.
And Kylie, what have been your aha or light bulb moments in your career as a professional sports dietitian? Sort of if you knew then what you know now.
Sure. I mean, there have been so many aha moments. One though is actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit for one of them. One was actually one of the most pivotal aha moments was when I switched from conventional to functional nutrition. And I was seeing patients. I mean, they were athletes, but they were coming as patients at the time. And they would come in, you know, for a certain reason. They'd say, oh, I want to lose weight, gain weight, you know, become faster, whatever it was. But then, and you know, I'd change their food. And that was back when my calorie equals a calorie days. And they'd make progress. They'd lose the weight. They'd gain the weight. But they were still tired. Or they still had gut issues. Or they still had migraines. And I finally realized, like, what am I doing? I'm not looking at these humans as one unit where all the organs connect and all the body systems connect. And I think I'm doing these individuals a disservice by only focusing on kind of the surface level. Oh, let me gain weight. Let me lose weight. And at the time I was just learning about functional nutrition and I realized, okay, this is how I can dig deeper. And a massive light bulb went off. Like it just made sense. And at that moment I thought I have to switch over and there's no way I could go back. Once I understood it, it was probably one of the biggest light bulb moments of my life.
I love that. And I bet you get asked this all the time, but what's the coolest thing about your job?
I do get asked all the time. And you know what? The answer kind of changes from day to day. That's a great question. I mean, there's just nothing greater than seeing an individual reach their fullest potential, their peak potential. And I think a lot of that is because I feel that I never reached my potential. I didn't know even an iota of what I'm teaching these men and women. And to see them transform from, you know, kind of like the half sleepy, tired, groggy, fried food, you know, monster to, you know, I'm competing at the highest level. I'm at the top of my career. And knowing that you played a role in that by changing their food, by incorporating testing, and just seeing them succeed. And I mean, there's just no greater feeling.
Mm-hmm. And so in terms of skill sets, right? So you must have certain special skills that help you develop this special rapport with these athletes. What mm-hmm. would you say those skills are?
I think first and foremost, knowing how to read these guys and knowing how to meet them where they are. Sure, for half of these guys, especially those that are extremely talented, you want to dig your fingers deep and you want to make all these suggestions and really encourage them to find a chef and order all this testing. And it's like, no, no, no. You have to learn to back up 10 steps and absolutely meet them where they are. Because guess what? Step one might just be getting them to consume a nutrient-dense, you know, smoothie or shake 3 days a week. I mean, that's a really big deal for some people who are skipping meals and vegetables make them dry heave. And they, you know, they're at maybe below square one. So I think people skills is almost more important than the knowledge base. You know, people always reach out to me and say, oh my gosh, I don't understand where I find this testing or supplements and this and that. And it's like, well, you have to kind of go to the most important aspect of it all, which is the human level of connection, understanding how to read a room, how to read an athlete, and knowing how to meet them where they are. And then, of course, piggybacking off of that, once that foundation is built, really getting comfortable with test interpretation and knowing how to implement these strategies in a way that is actually real life, that's conducive to their lifestyle. Many of these athletes are getting on a plane constantly. They're in different cities, sometimes different countries, depending on the sport. And knowing how to then take those results off of that paper or off of, you know, whatever their doctor says, and then implement that in a way that's actually realistic that they could actually stay consistent with. I mean, it took me a while to be pretty decent at that.
Mm. And, you know, in our industry, a lot of people have good intentions, right? They mm-hmm. hear the word mm-hmm. health, healthy. They want to make these changes. But we also know human behavior, highly resistant to change.
Yes.
So you have these athletes. They have their favorite foods. I think you mentioned fried chicken a few times. So I think that's a popular item on the menu. Mm-hmm. But obviously, those are not foods that one can eat maybe even during performance day. Do you have certain kind of tips for them or advice that still keep them happy, but also they're able to maximize their performance?
Yes, such a spot on question right now. I was texting with an athlete 2 days ago on the road, and that's exactly what I was coaching him on, was some of these foods that are maybe heavier in fat, that are more fried, or that are extremely high in fiber or extremely high in sugar, I would never tell you not to touch. Rarely do I tell someone never to touch these foods, but it's all about the timing, right? If you're craving this particular food, then let's have it right after the game, or ideally on a practice day when we're not playing that night or the next day. So instead of saying, no, you shouldn't eat this, it's so inflammatory, it's no, let's work on the timing. You know, today let's focus on foods that are low in allergenicity and more easily digestible, like carbohydrates, like, you know, salted baked potato, or maybe brown rice, purple rice, black rice, red rice. And then, you know, he said he wanted a certain dish, and that's no problem. I said, all right, let's do this. Let's do this on this day and not today. Does that work? And he said, oh, great. You know, that makes sense. Let's do that.
Mm. So they're still meeting their cravings, but at the right time.
Right. And you're still getting to be that 20-year-old kid that we all were at one point.
Yes.
And you don't feel like you're deprived, and you know that your performance is going to be enhanced. So it's a win-win across the board.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it sounds like you have daily success stories, but if you had to sort of pick one biggest success story as a sports dietitian, is there one that sticks out for you, like the biggest impact that you had on an athlete?
Gosh, there are so many. There are so many. I mean, just so many cool stories, and it never gets old. And I have them every week, and you're right, sometimes daily. I hate to give I give the same example many times, but only because it was one of the most profound of my career. And she was a young athlete. She's in junior high, played volleyball, and normal, healthy kid. And all of a sudden, debilitated, like out of nowhere. It was probably over a 10-day period. All of a sudden started feeling sick, feeling exhausted, couldn't function, couldn't get out of bed. And mind you, this was a young athlete. And I mean, debilitated, severe muscle pain. It was a nightmare. Her parents didn't know what to do. And long story short, we figured out we needed to correct a few nutrient deficiencies. She had severe, debilitating food sensitivities. Mm-hmm. And we kind of worked to get to the root of the problem, which part of it was mold exposure. It's a water-damaged building. In this case, gluten was an issue for her, a major, major, major issue for her. But when we kind of cleaned up everything piece by piece, she was able to walk again and even attend college when she had been in a wheelchair for 3 years. I mean, now that's, of course, a very extreme story. And it's, but because of that, it's one of the most common examples I give because it was so profound. But it just goes to show when you really work to get to the root of a health issue, athletes or not, you can literally save someone's life.
Yeah. And I think that is the power of functional medicine. Are people realizing they don't need to be on medication and suffer for so long?
Yes.
It takes commitment and work, but it's absolutely worth the effort. And then they feel like a brand new person that they haven't known or felt in forever in some cases.
Yes. I couldn't have said it better. Absolutely.
And then where do you see the future of functional medicine in sports and athletics?
I think over time we're going to find that it just makes sense. And it's really, truly one of the best ways to give an athlete a competitive advantage. Even the most talented athletes in the world could still benefit. No one is perfect. Even these guys with some of the best chefs in the country, they still have nutrient deficiencies because it's the nature of the sport. It's the nature of, you know, their lifestyle, the environment, whatever, you know, health issues. But I think that we will find that no matter who you are, what sport you play, where you come from, that eventually it will just make sense to get to know each athlete on an individual level, maybe go through some basic testing on every person. Micronutrient deficiencies is kind of a baseline start. And I think that, you know, let's say maybe 10 years, a functional nutrition approach to sports nutrition will probably be the gold standard.
I love that. And I think that is really the future of, especially in the sports industry, because as you said, a lot of athletes might be living with low-grade inflammation. I mean, the majority mm-hmm. of people are. And I can imagine as an athlete how much that affects you even more because we know sleep is essential and the right nutrients. And it's also very taxing on their body. So they probably have higher needs than most people. So I love that you're bringing in the functional medicine part. And you being so passionate, I'm sure, are a great role model for others to follow in your footsteps.
Very kind of you. I appreciate you saying that.
And Kylie, for just general dietary advice for people who are listening, they feel kind of blah, right? Day in and day out. Mm-hmm. What are some changes that you would say are realistic, practical? Start today, make those changes. What would you say to them?
All right. So the first one is always going to be my number one. My personal gold standard is eating real food. We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but that goes without saying. No one's going to fight me on that one. Sorry, but eating real food that comes from the earth, even if it's just 80% of the time, or right now, if we are at 0%, let's make it 25% or 50%. And we'll work our way up to that. Part two is try to leave a 1 to 2, even 3 hour gap between your last bite of food at night and bedtime. Allow your body to digest before you fully rest. This will help not only improve your gut health and digestion, but it will help improve the quality of your sleep. In fact, if you track your sleep, you have a watch or some way or an app, some way of tracking, play around with it. See how the quality of sleep changes when you eat bigger meals or even just eat meals later at night, really close to bedtime. Monitor, play around with caffeine, mm-hmm. monitor caffeine intake and how it might change your sleep. And I think number three and finally is listen to your body. I don't care how old you are or how active or not active you are or what your medical history says. You should not feel exhausted after a meal. You should not feel bloated after a meal. You should not have chronic gas after a meal or run to the bathroom or have headaches or low grade, you know, feeling the joints swell and puff up, whatever it may be. If that's happening chronically, that should not be the case. So it's really important to start tuning in what you're eating, how you're feeling. And I guarantee, regardless of you're a clinician or not, you don't have to be skilled to kind of figure out some of these basic patterns in your own body.
I love that. Trust your gut, right? Listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then are there any foods or things that people should have in their pantry today and incorporate that every single day?
So my dream is to have less in the pantry, more fresh in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
If I could wave a magic wand, we would all be eating 2 to 3, if not more, different colors at every meal. You know, even if it's 2 out of 3 meals a day, whether you're blending a few different colors in the smoothie, you're making batch cooking a veggie soup on a Sunday, a multicolored veggie soup, and you're kind of just sprinkling that in throughout the week. Maybe you're sauteing a bunch of different vegetables with dinner or adding a big colorful salad to lunch, whatever it may be. adding more color is the best way to reverse damage at the cellular level. So that is kind of my hope. And just when you do go to your pantry, that the majority of the products you choose, we're all going to have packaged food, right? I mean, most of us, it's just not realistic to cook fresh from scratch every meal, every day. So just when you go into your pantry, whether it is a dessert, a snack, a dinner side dish, try to make sure those ingredients are recognizable. Things you could find in your grandmother's kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I had heard you on one interview talking about turmeric. I know that's a big one that we all talk mm-hmm. about. How do you feel about that? And maybe any other sort of spices or things we can just add to dishes every day to maximize its nutrition?
Love, love, love turmeric. Anyone that knows me knows I love turmeric and for good reason. I mean, it's only fair. You can do the research yourself and see there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and actually thousands really of published studies. And it is important, especially if you feel that you are chronically inflamed or you have kind of a wonky medical history. Taking turmeric in supplemental form is amazing. A, because it's more potent. B, because it's just easy to stay consistent with. But C, it's much better absorbed. A good quality turmeric supplement is much better absorbed than when you're just trying to sprinkle it on your food here and there. And I mean, you can move mountains in your own body. I mean, I have some individuals that say they felt their pain or their swelling or their headaches or whatever decrease within 24 hours. That's not always the case, but with a really, really good quality turmeric, absolutely, it is possible.
Right. And unfortunately, most of us live with low-grade inflammation, right? So that's
almost impossible to avoid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you had to pick the top nutrient, you know, mineral deficiencies that you encounter and people should pay attention to, what would you say those are?
Well, because I'm in sports, I see magnesium by far and away more than anything else. You know, it's responsible for over 300 enzymatic reactions in the body. And so because it's so readily used up and a lot of us don't eat enough of our beans and dark leafy greens and nuts and seeds and a lot of the foods that have magnesium, it's no surprise that we're deficient, especially if we're extremely active. So, you know, keeping an eye out on magnesium is really important. Really watching out for the B vitamins, especially for those who are overly stressed, whether it's life stress or overtraining stress. B vitamins tend to get, you know, amino acids as well, just blown to smithereens. Those are probably the top. And vitamin D, right? So I'm here in Cleveland, Ohio, not as sunny year round as we'd like it to be, a little bit of a colder climate. So we see a lot of vitamin D deficiencies, especially in basketball because it's an indoor sport. Mm-hmm. It's to be expected. Those, I would say, are the top nutrients that I find I'm giving additional supplementation with.
Okay. So for the families listening who have young athletes, for the young athletes that are listening, those are three things to pay attention to: magnesium, vitamin D, and the B vitamins. And Kylene, where can our listeners find out more about you?
Yes. So you can find us on Instagram at ForwardFuel. That's FWDFUEL.com, as well as our blog, ForwardFuel.com. Same thing, FWDFUEL.com. And for those that do feel like they are chronically inflamed or need assistance with, you know, maybe they're not quite ready to go to the doctor, or they've been to, you know, 13 specialists and they feel like they're spinning their wheels, I actually spent 3 years creating the Ultimate Anti-Inflammatory Reset. And it's just a food-based course. We touch a bit on supplementation, but a very much 100% food-based course, basic recipes, easy to follow that don't taste like cat litter, that you can kind of follow step by step to help reverse your chronic inflammation with food alone. We go over everything, certain foods to remove, how to properly reintroduce them. And I am willing to offer your listeners a very, very significant discount. We usually sell it for $400 a course. And anyone that is interested, we will offer it to your listeners for $49.
So appreciated. And I want to include all of those links in the show notes, as well as any other resources for recipes, you know, if you have supplement suggestions, and just really any helpful resources for these up and coming athletes. That would be wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And Kylene, given how extremely busy you are, I am so grateful to have you here today. Thank you.
No problem. I'm happy to make the time.
And in a world, you know, where nutrition, health, wellness have become a business, a trend, a hashtag, and there's so much noise to filter through, it makes me so happy to meet dietitians and nutrition professionals who are focusing on that connection between food and physical and mental health and really looking at that big picture. And in your case, taking it a step further and how nutrition impacts performance and recovery from injury. You know, I really like your approach of just because it's common or happens all the time, it doesn't make it normal, and connecting the dots, right? Because between everything that's going on with the individual. So thank you so much, wealth of knowledge. And of course, I'd love to have you on a future episode. And if you have any time, maybe we can do an Insta Live. So many fun things to do there.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And to the listeners, I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time. Thank you for listening to the Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast with your host, Argavan Neelforush. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into all the tips and tricks you and your family can use to make daily life a little easier. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please leave a rating and review, share with others, and follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Baby Steps Nutrition Podcast. As always, you can head over to babystepsnutrition.com to sign up for our email list, as well as check out all the links and resources in the show notes. See you next time. Tune in. Feel great.